Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
What if all the science demonizing saturated fat were shown to be untrue? In her new book, The Big Fat Surprise, Why Butter, Meat, and Cheese Belong in a Healthy Diet, investigative journalist Nina Teichel reveals the unthinkable, that everything we thought we knew about dietary fats is wrong. Again, the title of the book is The Big Fat Surprise, and it's a pleasure to welcome Nina Teichel to the roundtable this morning. Nina, thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate
it. I'm delighted. Thank you for having me.
It is a delight to have you with us. I want this book to be true. I think so many of us want this book to be true. And so what led you down this path?
Well, I'm a journalist, and I've done a lot of investigative stories, but I had a little dinky restaurant review column that couldn't afford to pay for meals, and so I had to eat whatever the chef decided to send out to me. And at the time, I was a vegetarian, but what I discovered was that the chef did not want to send out stir-fried vegetables and chicken breasts, which is what I had been eating for the previous 10 years at least. Chefs are interested in sending out red meat, foie gras, pâté, organ meats, all these things that I had rarely, if ever, eaten. And I found out that they were delicious and earthy and interesting foods. I also miraculously just dropped the 10 pounds that I had stubbornly been trying to lose for a long time. And my doctor said my cholesterol levels were fine. So that presented an enormous mystery to me, which took nearly a decade to unravel, as I really went through all the science to try to understand why that would be true.
You make this statement in the book, which is almost nothing we commonly believe today about fats generally, and saturated fats in particular, appears, upon close examination, to be accurate. So how did we get to this point where they have been demonized in such a way?
Right. So saturated fats are the fats in meat, cheese, butter, dairy, and the idea that they cause heart disease goes back to the 1950s when the nation was in a panic about heart disease, which had risen out of nowhere from the beginning of the 20th century to become the nation's number one killer. President Eisenhower himself had a heart attack in 1955, and researchers were desperate for answers. And into that vacuum, there was one scientist who proposed the idea that it was saturated fats was the dietary culprit. And he got that idea implanted into the American Heart Association in 1961, the very first anti-saturated fat dietary guidelines. Those became the gold standard for Americans. And the idea really became institutionalized before the science had been done. That idea had never been tested scientifically. But, you know, the rest of the history really unfolds from there.
And when you look at that idea of a low-fat diet, you talk about the science and really what we also know about the risks when it comes to a low-fat diet, i.e., when you take many of those foods out of your diet.
Right. So what do you do if you can't have red meat, eggs, dairy foods for dinner? What replaces them are, fish to a certain extent. We are eating a lot of fish, chicken and fish. But we've shifted our diets dramatically to carbohydrates, which are pasta, grains, breads. And we eat 25% more carbohydrates than we did 30 years ago. And that's just simply because there are only so many things to eat out there. But the problem with carbohydrates is that even too many unrefined carbohydrates, like whole grains and brown rice, too many of those in many clinical trials have been shown now to lead to increased risk for heart disease, diabetes, and obesity.
So, I mean, not to cut to the chase, but basically what you're advocating in the book is that there is a point of balance, right?
Well, I'm saying that American diet has shifted dramatically in the direction of carbohydrates away from animal foods. We eat also 11% less saturated fats than we did 30 years ago. And that is a diet that has shifted too far in one direction. So the main arguments of my book amount to saying we need to shift back in the other direction when the nation was healthier before these epidemics, and there's nothing unhealthy about those foods. The evidence that saturated fats might cause heart disease was never good and has since been analyzed and has really dissolved and fallen apart.
One of the things that you outline in the book is how especially damaging it is to diets for both women and children.
Right. So when the dietary recommendations were extended, they were really made for middle-aged men fighting heart disease. There was never any data on women and children when those groups were included in our national dietary guidelines. That happened first with the American Heart Association, included them in 1970. The U.S. government followed behind in 1986. There was no data at that point about the effects of this diet on women and children. And when they were subsequently tested on the diet, it turned out that the adverse effects were worse for women. Their good cholesterol went down on the low-fat diet, meaning that their heart disease risk went up, and children suffered nutritional deficiencies on the diet. So it just turned out to be a terrible idea for those groups. And, you know, to follow a diet based on that was designed for middle-aged men, it was really never a good idea for women and children.
Why didn't we hear from the critics? Why did we not hear from the industries, from the dairy industry, from the meat industry, and even big food, as to how the science was flawed in some way?
Well, I think the question is, where were the scientific critics? There was a big science, a debate amongst scientists going on right until about the mid-1980s, because the mistakes were primarily of science, of scientists taking weak data and running with it before it was ready. And there were numerous critics, but they were basically silenced because they found out quickly that to go up against what became this kind of institutional dogma that fat and saturated fat cause heart disease, the scientists who criticized it, they lost their research grants, they weren't invited on expert panels, they weren't invited to prestigious conferences. I mean, there's a whole list of ways in which you can be exiled in the scientific community, and that's ultimately what happened to those critics. By the mid-1980s, scientists were really just self-censoring and not talking about the subject at all.
You talk in the book about certain diets, but one being the Mediterranean diet, because a lot of us have been told that olive oil is good. Olive oil is the good oil, and not a saturated fat. It is okay. You question that science.
The Mediterranean diet, which includes olive oil, really rose to fame because there were a whole series of really fantastic scientific conferences all over the Mediterranean diet that were largely funded by the olive oil industry. And the people who were invited to these conferences were scientists, chefs, food writers, government officials, and they were fantastic. I mean, they're widely known to be the best ever food conferences that ever happened. But what I, you know, point out in my book is that nobody's been ever able to demonstrate olive oil as having any special heart disease fighting powers. And we might all be talking about the Siberian diet, which also a population that also had low rates of heart disease, but ate a lot of dairy products, but who wants to go to a scientific conference in Siberia? So to a large extent, we now think the Mediterranean diet is best because that's where people like to go vacationing.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
So,
well, and the olive oil industry really had a huge hand in that. So, I mean, it's not the scientifically based diet that we think it is.
But I want to get back to an earlier question, which is, why isn't the dairy industry in on this? Like, why isn't the dairy industry screaming bloody murder?
There are interested industries on all sides of this issue. So it's not that the dairy and the meat and the egg industries were not trying valiantly to defend saturated fats, but the far bigger industries who eventually won out, these battles were going on from the 1940s on when industries really, American food really started to organize themselves. Who are the far bigger players in this? You know, General Foods, Kellogg's, Procter & Gamble, oil makers, all the big edible oil makers who make vegetable oils, which we're supposed to be eating instead of meat, cheese, and dairy. You know, the big edible oil companies are ADM, Unilever, Cargill, Bunge. I mean, some of the biggest companies in the country. So those, you know, the short answer is those industries won. They were better organized. They did a better job of lobbying. They were able to influence science at its very core. They influenced the scientists doing the science. So they were very clever about the way they went about this issue.
When it is all said and done for you, what do you think the implications are of what you have found in the book? How should we be eating differently? And ultimately, how should we change the policies that we've put forward?
Well, how do we eat differently? I think that the last decade of really rigorous, good clinical trials demonstrate that a high-fat diet is better than a low-fat diet for obesity, heart disease, and diabetes. And how do you get to a high-fat diet? You can get there by drinking bowlfuls of olive oil, but it's almost impossible to get to a high-fat diet without eating meat, cheese, eggs, you know, milk, drinking milk. So those need to be incorporated into a diet, and the really probably the more of them, the better, in order to be healthy, especially if you already suffer from one of those diseases. As for the implications for policy, I mean, I think our food pyramid is upside down pretty much. The big, giant bottom slab of the food pyramid is still grains and rice and wheat. And so I think that we really need to reconsider those national dietary guidelines. You know, the USDA, the American Heart Association, those are the two groups that publish the most influential set of nutritional guidelines, and I think they need to be reconsidered.
The name of the book is The Big Fat Surprise, Why Butter, Meat, and Cheese Belong in a Healthy Diet. The book is published by Simon & Schuster. Nina Teicheul, I thank you very much for being with us. It's a great pleasure.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks very much. Again, the title of the book, The Big Fat Surprise, published by Simon & Schuster. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.